opened the doors and you joined as a staff member there.
That's correct.
Okay, so and now you are executive director. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Chip decided in 2004, as you've indicated, to throw his hat in the ring and run for, at that time, to become an Oregon State representative. And so I submitted my resume and was selected by the board to become executive director, and I've held that position ever since.
Okay, and so what is Better People for a listener who knows absolutely nothing about the organization?
Better People is a program that works with individuals who have legal histories. Semantics are very important to us. That is, people who have committed a crime sometime in their life. We provide four basic services. All clients are required, first of all, to attend an orientation so they can decide whether or not this is a commitment they want to make. And then we provide, four services. All clients must participate twice a week in cognitive behavioral therapy, and we use moral recognition therapy, which is an evidence-based process. We also provide clients with a 23-hour job readiness program. We assist them in gaining permanent employment. And then once they're employed, retention services are extremely important, so we seek to help them remain employed long-term.
Okay, so you guys provide cognitive behavioral therapy and employment help, and then employment retention after they've gained employment, after the individual has gained employment. So I know that there are a couple different organizations similar, Central City Concern, Southeast Works, Better People, I believe Volunteers of America has some stuff. What makes Better People unique? What makes it different?
Well, first of all, we also provide job readiness, but we don't discriminate. So we accept anyone, regardless as to the type of crime they may have been convicted of. So that runs the scope anywhere from possession to robbery to burglary to any type of person crime. That would include assault. That would include murder. It would include any of our sex crimes also.
Okay, so are you saying that these other programs perhaps don't take individuals with person-to-person crimes or sex offenses, arson, murder, any of these?
Well, I think they limit it. Some of them don't deal with some of those offenses at all, and some of them do on a very limited basis. We don't limit ourselves. We're open to any client who's willing to make changes in their lives and or in their life and committed to attending the classes twice a week and the other services that we provide.
So you mentioned that you're open to working with anybody who's willing. Now, you mentioned earlier that you work with anyone who has committed a crime in the past. What if somebody walked in the door, they had been facing obstacles brought on by involvement in the justice system to gaining employment, and they said, you know, I didn't actually do it, but I'm facing these obstacles and I just need a job. I need your help. Help me out. What would you say to that person?
Well, we've had a few people like that, but eventually they begin to recognize that they did something to contribute to their own situation, being in the wrong place, associating with the wrong people, so they have to accept some responsibility for what has occurred.
And does the cognitive behavioral therapy play into that sort of notion at all, or...?
Definitely. It's really getting you to look at the way you think in order to change the way you behave. And sometimes it's not necessarily about decisions you've made, but people you associate with, and perhaps some of the things you do.
Okay, I hear you. So you mentioned people you associate with, and if maybe that leads you down bad paths in life. I know that with a lot of the different organizations that do work like this, there's a component of community building amongst the individuals who are participating. Is there sort of a maybe mentoring groups or as a housing or something that goes along with it that forms kind of a social structure?
We have an alumni organization that all members are invited to participate in. MRT, Moral Recognition Therapy, is a cognitive behavioral process that we use. And once clients pass step 8 of that, they're invited to become members. But prior to that, they're invited to come and participate. And that group meets once a month at our office and is extremely active. So that there is a process that allows them to come and be involved even beyond the program that we provide.
And so what are some of the activities they take part in?
Well, they have bowling once a month, but one of their biggest fundraisers is a bowling tournament. They also participate in the Good in the Neighborhood Parade. They give put on car washes, and they also provide their services to various other nonprofits in the community as a way of being civically involved.
So it gives an opportunity for individuals who maybe have done some wrong in their lives to start giving back, to really get some good feeling out of it.
Yes, they can give back through that organization, but the MRT process also requires them at a couple of steps to do public service, which would be over and above any community service that they may have been mandated to do by the courts.
So this sounds like great work to be doing. Why is this work important to do?
Well, first of all, individuals who have a legal history really need a second chance opportunity when they're willing to make changes in their lives. That's difficult to get. I think we as the public, through our taxes, provide services for people who aren't employed. So it's a far better process when they can get employed and support themselves and their families. It's also important that they be given an opportunity to change the way they think so they can change the way they behave so that they don't pass on legacies of cyclical behavior so that things change, so that their children don't follow in their footsteps, but have opportunity and choose to do things differently than their parents.
Okay. Where have you seen some people get jobs? How has that worked out?
Well, we have people in just about any industry that you can name, including the media. That would include TV, radio. We have people working at various other nonprofits. We've assisted people in getting jobs at manufacturers. We've assisted people in getting jobs in landscaping and construction work. As a matter of fact, the president of our organization is very much involved, I think, as a metal worker, and it happens to be a she.
Okay. So, you know, we've heard some employers are felony friendly. Do you have some felony friendly employers that you work with?
First of all, that's not a term we use. And no, I don't know where that came from. We have employers who are interested in working with people who have legal histories. Some of them have different demands. Some of them, for example, will take people who've committed a property crime, but they may not consider someone who's committed a person crime. Or they may take someone who's committed a drug crime, but not be interested in someone who's committed a property crime. We have employers who really don't care about the particular type of conviction, and we have other employers who will take it on a case-by-case situation.
Okay, so would you say that a second chance employer would be a better way to phrase that terminology?
I would just say employers who are willing to hire people who have a legal history.
Okay. Do you have any success stories that you could talk about? Maybe we can have one now and then another after the break.
Well, I'm not going to use names. And we have a particular individual who's been very much involved in gangs. And we were able to help him get a very good job working with that particular population, which was something that he wanted to do. He completely turned his life around. He stands as a role model for those individuals and feels that he's giving something back to the community as well as helping young people not perhaps make the same types of decisions that he did.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Miss Boston. Let's take a quick musical interlude here. But everyone, please stick with us. You're listening to Prison Pipeline here on KBOO 90.7 FM here in Portland. And we're speaking with Clarina Boston, Executive Director of Better People.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
And welcome back. This is Peter Pincel with Prison Pipeline. I'm here tonight with Clarina Boston, the executive director at Better People, a workforce development organization for individuals who've been involved in the criminal justice system here in the Portland, Oregon area, specifically in sort of the North Portland area. So, Ms. Boston, we recently spoke about a success story of an individual who'd who Better People had helped find employment working as a positive social influence to individuals who've gotten involved in gangs. But I know that perhaps it's not all a bed of roses. What have some of the challenges been that Better People has faced?
Well, you know, when we opened in 1998. The biggest challenge facing our clients was the fact that they had a legal history. But as time has gone by and the economy has worsened, affordable, decent housing is certainly an issue for our clients. We find more and more clients having mental health challenges. Health challenges in general, definitely more challenged than we found clients to be in 1998. As we speed forward 16 years, definitely we're seeing those things, and it's frustrating for us because unfortunately we don't provide those services, so we have to depend on other community organizations to help clients, so we refer them there for assistance.
So you work closely with some other community organizations?
We certainly seek to do that, yes.
Okay, so I know that substance abuse is one of the major issues that faces people who've been involved in the criminal justice system.
Definitely.
What would you do with someone who walks through your doors who's in an active addiction?
Well, first of all, there are requirements to be in our program. You have to be at least 18 years old and a minimum of 30 days clean and sober. So if someone comes in and admits that they're actively using, then they know that they don't meet our requirements and would have to return after they've been at least 30 days clean and sober. And then one of the questions we'll ask is what they intend to do to maintain their sobriety. You can't go to work if you're using, And you can't also be a clearer thinking person if you're using. And so we do have that requirement, and that's what we maintain.
Okay. So what do you say to people when they say, you know, I am trying to apply for jobs right now, but as soon as I see that box, have you ever been convicted of a felony that you need to check on an application? I just give up. I just don't even apply. What would you say to someone in that situation?
Well, this was the reason why in 2004, we put together at that time a 12-hour job readiness curriculum, which has been expanded to 23. And we really take our clients from A to Z and instructing them in everything they need to know in order to be more efficient and effective as they look for employment. So we help them respond to that question both in a written and an oral format. They really do understand exactly what it is they need to do and what it is they need to say.
Okay. So how big are your classes?
Our MRT classes can run anywhere from 8 to 17 people. It just depends.
Okay, and how about the job readiness classes?
The job readiness classes, we average sometimes 2 to 3. We don't like more than 5 because it's very intense. As I indicated, it's a 23-hour curriculum. It's presented over 5 days at 4 hours a day. But it takes a lot of work, a lot of paying attention and being involved. And also they have homework.
Oh, okay. So what would you like us to know about Better People? What Better People is doing right now?
Well, we have a graduation coming up, as a matter of fact, that I wanted to share. It's going to be on Monday, April 14th. At Irvington Covenant Church, which is located at 4046 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. From 6 to 6:30, excuse me, is a reception. And from 6:30 to 7:30 is the graduation. And you can depend on our starting and ending on time. Also, we have a spring fundraiser coming up. I was hoping to be able to make the announcement tonight, but it will be available on our website, and it's scheduled for the end of May. And it's part of our Jazzy Evening ongoing fundraiser for the spring.
And so what is your website, Ms. Boston?
www.betterpeople.org.
If you'd like any more information about the organization, feel free to visit that website. Okay, so the graduation is a public event. Anyone's welcome to come.
Anyone is welcome to come. As a matter of fact, we'd like for you to come. You at least would get to see our clients who've completed all 12 steps, hear their testimonies, and what their struggles have been like to get to where they are.
Okay. So on that note, getting involved, is there an opportunity for volunteering with Better People?
There is an opportunity. They would need to call 503-281-2663. However, if you are someone who has a legal history, we do have a prerequisite, and we would gladly discuss that with you. I'd like to back up and say, excuse me, Keith Rogers, who is the director of Multnomah Defenders Incorporated, is going to be our MC that evening. We always try to have someone who works within the system as MC. We've had judges, and we've had people from the DA's office. We've had people from the governor's office, as well as people from Multnomah County Community Justice.
All right, great. So now what if somebody with a criminal background wants to get involved as a customer? What are the steps there, or as a client?
You mean a legal history?
Someone with a legal history.
Right.
Excuse me.
They could just call at that same number, 503-281-2663, and register to attend an orientation. We would tell them particular things that they would need to know during that telephone conversation and let them know when orientation would be and more or less register them to attend. By attending orientation, they get to hear everything they need to know in order to make an informed decision as to whether or not they would like to participate. We're asking them to make a big commitment, and you really have to be ready for that.
Okay, so what if someone just wanted to drop by and start that way, express their interest that way? How would they do that?
I'm not following your question.
So maybe could someone just walk in your front door and say that they're interested in starting up services, or is that
Certainly walk in our front door, but we would still register them to attend an orientation. But between you and me, we've had people come to orientation who didn't register. We would prefer, because there's certain information we'd like to give them, and we don't like people to be surprised. So when you walk in the door and attend an orientation, you can often be surprised by what it is that we require. So in order to avoid that, we ask you to pre-register. But it isn't anything that's engraved in cement.
Okay, so before we move away from the services that you guys offer, do you guys offer some job developing? Do you have people who go out in the community and make connections with people? And
we have an employment specialist, and that's part of the services that we provide in assisting our clients in gaining permanent employment. So we have definitely, over our almost 16 years, we have gotten relationships with plenty of employers, many, many employers that are in our database.
All right. And just to return back to the requirements of getting into your programs, things you ask of them.
They have to be at least 18 years old, a minimum of 30 days clean and sober. They have to agree that they will attend our cognitive behavioral therapy classes twice a week. Each class is an hour and a half. Also attend our job readiness program, unless we do have people come to us for MRT who are not interested in being employed. Sometimes they're already employed. Sometimes they're in school. If that's the case, we don't require them to do the job readiness program. And they must also be prepared to pay a one-time non-refundable enrollment fee of $50.
Is there any sort of scholarship or something that could come along with that?
No, we don't waive fees. If you're interested, you would have to pay that. It costs anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 for each person to go through the program. So either that's paid by a referring agency, or we as an agency have to raise those funds. And that's rather difficult to do.
Okay. Ms. Boston, I know that a good number of our audience is currently incarcerated who's listening to this show right now. Do you have a message for them?
Yes, if they're interested. We have plenty of people who write letters to us, and we send them information which tells them what they can do once they're released and they're back in the community. So I would invite them to do that. Our address is 3711 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, Portland, Oregon, 97212.
Great. And so all of the Better People contact information, along with Ms. Boston's email address, will be on our website at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. So before we wrap up for the evening, do you have anything else that you'd like to say over the mic tonight?
Yes, I just would like to remind people of legal histories. You can't outlive your legal history, but you can certainly learn to manage it.
Great. Hey, thank you so much for being here this evening. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Ms. Boston. Like I said, all the information from this show will be on our website, kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. There you will also find a recording of this show, along with recordings of past shows. Thank you for tuning in. If you like us, please like us on Facebook. Be sure to tune in next week to hear my co-host, either Adam Carpinelli or Karen James or maybe even Justin Chapin. One of them will be chiming in about with some excellent new stuff to deliver on that. Again, this has been Peter Pincel with Prison Pipeline. Thank you very much for tuning in, and I hope to hear or see you. I hope you listen in again next week.
Do you understand me now? Sometimes you see that I'm mad. Don't you know no one alive can always be a letter when everything goes wrong? Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that you are about to cross the border. And then follow the footsteps to a two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound. Where will you be on Mondays at 8 when the door slams shut? Here on KBOO Portland.
Good people, this is Jamila from Guess Who's Coming to Radio. As you may know, the show has taken a hiatus from being on the air. While I will still be involved in radio, I'm here to welcome the ones who will be there on Thursdays, doing radio, which is positive, aware, and proactive. I thank you all for your support and positive words and energy. And just know that it means a lot to me. Wherever you are, stay focused and keep listening to KBOO, your community radio.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Hard Knock Radio, so stay tuned.
1, 2, 3, 4. Y'all ready for this?
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's history. Never been done before. Never been done in this before. Country. In this country.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another edition. It is Hard Knock Radio. Davey D hanging out with you this afternoon. On today's show, we check out last week's rally in front of San Francisco City Hall in the effort to save CCSF. Later on, we're going to talk about the plight of political prisoner H.Rap Brown, a.k.a. Jamil Al-Alameen. All that and more coming up.
McKinney, and you're listening to Hard Knock Radio.
I'm Ariana Huffington, and when I'm in the Bay, I keep it locked to Hard Knock Radio.
This is Harry Belafonte on Hard Knock Radio.
This is Dennis Kucinich here on Hard Knock Radio.
This is Ryan Dellums on Hard Knock Radio. What's up?
What up, everybody? It's Davey D, Hard Knock Radio. Last week, there was a number of protests, very spirited protests to save
City College of San Francisco. People wound up sitting into one of the main halls, Collin Hall. There were some arrests, some police brutality incidents, and a number of people rallying around the fact that they feel that the democratic process to keep this school alive and available for the community, one of the largest community colleges in all of the nation, has been jettisoned in lieu of in favor of corporate interest. So we want to let you all know what went down this past weekend, or actually last Friday afternoon at City Hall. We were there to talk to some of the key players as well as hear their remarks. So without further ado, why don't we make way as Tom Amiano, who serves in the legislature, the state legislature, gives his remarks and his assessment of what is happening with CCSF.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Pepper spray? Really? Pepper spray? Who paid for that pepper spray? Who paid for the security guards? Who trains those security guards? Mr. Argella, I went to 16 years of Catholic school, and it made me the man I am today. I respected my mother superior, but we don't need a mother superior at City College. We need a real chancellor, someone who understands, and we need a board of trustees that was duly elected by the people of San Francisco. How would the board of supervisors feel? How would the mayor feel if he was arbitrarily removed from office? Where is the democracy in that? Who are these people? Where did they come from? They have not had transparency or accountability for years, and yet they have the nerve to raise the salaries of administrators in a backroom deal and ignore the teachers. They have the nerve to pepper spray our students who pay their salary. Mr. Argella's salary comes from your pot of money, comes from your inability currently to choose the classes that you want. This is wrong. This is not Kiev. This is San Francisco. We want our board back, and we want it now. I have a handy piece of legislation that'll do just that. And I will say there's a number of other legislators who have introduced bills, and I applaud that. But I have to